welcome to the Leadership Educator Podcast. My name is Dan Jenkins, and I'm Chair and Associate Professor of Leadership and Organizational Studies at the University of Southern Maine.
And I'm Lauren Bullock, Assistant Professor of Instruction at Temple University, and we are both excited for today's episode of the Leadership Educator Podcast. During our first season, which is available wherever you get your podcast, we talked about leadership educators, who they are, what they do, etc. This season, Dan and I are speaking with educators from each of the ILEC professional associations, ALE, ILA, NASPA, NACA, ACPA, ACUI, and the NCLP. I know that's a lot of alphabet soup, so we've posted this list in our show notes so you can go back and check out the people that the organizations we've talked about. Today's episode, we're talking to Dr. Brian McGee, Associate Director of the Wilson Commons Student Activities at the University of Rochester, an adjunct assistant professor of educational leadership, about his involvement in the Association of College Unions International, also known as ACUI. So, Brian, welcome officially to the Leadership Educator Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today.
So Brian, before we jump into our list of questions that we have for you and give us an opportunity to learn a little bit more about ACUI, we'd love to hear a little bit about your background. Would you start by telling us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with ACUI?
Absolutely. I have a really unique background when it comes to sort of higher education and sort of my path through to where I am currently. I was an undergraduate student at the University of Rochester studying biology and Spanish. Weird combo, I know. And then was very involved on campus and then realized, oh wait, you can do this for a living. So I had that normal student affairs epiphany and then went to graduate school at the University at Buffalo and did my master's in student affairs administration. And from that point was really where I experienced ACUI for the first time. Our director of student life and the university was very ACUI focused and was the she was the chair of the conference in 2010 in New York City. So we all went, and that was my first year at an ACUI event. And I have that really set the stage for what I valued in professional development and how my career path led. I had done that after my master's. I worked in residence life at Hobart and William Smith Colleges for a hot 7 months and then transitioned to the educational program coordinator role at ACUI, where I was sort of leading a lot of professional development opportunities for student affairs, college union activity professionals. After about 4.5 years, I realized I wanted to go back to school. I wanted to sort of change, get back on to a college campus. And then a position at my former alma mater at the University of Rochester opened up. And then I applied and then received that position. And I've been there for almost 5 years. So it's sort of a windy road through association management, back to a college campus, teaching. But here I am still at the University of Rochester currently.
Yeah, no, and I think back to Brian, you mentioned the association management part, which is, it wasn't even something that I knew was like a job title. Or, you know, I remember reaching out to you when I was working a bit with, when I was on the board for the Association of Leadership Educators for ALE, and we had explored that for a while. And you said, well, you know, Dan, that's something that we do. We didn't end up going with ACUI or any association management firm but it was really interesting learning experience. And so, I learned a lot. And I think that was one of the great things about, you know, being, associated with ILEC. And I know that you represented ACUI for many years, all the way back to, I was going through some of the summit proceedings. You're part of that first group that met in 2013, if that sounds right. And so always brought a lot of institutional history and always had a lot of fun just, you know, getting to know you and learning from some of the experiences you had with the association and learning more about, you know, what ACUI provides for leadership educators, because there's so many other things that that your organization promotes and provides.
I 100% agree with that. I think back when I was in a student affairs role at Temple University, and we took leadership students or students who are interested in our leadership programs to ACUI, and they loved it. I think it was this opportunity to meet students from different aspects of student affairs. So not just, you know, students in leadership programs, although those students are in leadership programs, as well as working and serving in the Student Center University. I also think we need to do a podcast episode on what you wanted to be before you transitioned into student affairs. I've had so many conversations with students. They're like, you know, I'm a criminal justice major, but I really love, you know, student leadership programs. Like, should I change my major? And I'm like, nope, don't change your major. Just when you go to grad school, apply for, you know, some kind of program that has ed leadership or higher education. So thank you for sharing your background, Brian. Can you share a little bit about your experiences as just being a member of ACUI? Like, anything stand out for you?
Yeah, absolutely. ACUI, again, has really been my professional association of choice, mainly because that's what my former directors and sort of supervisors, that was their association. So you sort of get ushered, you know, in this big cattle herding process of all these student affairs associations. You, based on your supervisor or school, you get ushered into some of the different lanes. And ACUI was that lane for me. So my actual first experience, which I'm still remembered for today, is in that New York City conference. I, of course, because my boss was the conference chair, we had to do stuff at all these this conference specifically. And I had the pleasure of dressing up as like one of those Fruit of the Loom apples for the conference, because the theme was Explore Your Core. It was an apple core, but it was when we were launching the core competencies for the association. So they tried to tie New York City core competencies and all these things. And I'm still remembered today as this, the guy who wore the apple costume in Times Square, in the Marriott, you know, Times Square, all these different Central Park, with my tights and with my costume on. So since then, that opened up a lot of networking opportunities, because they still remember me as that. But throughout that whole process, ACUI cares. The members care, the union directors, the activity directors, they care, and they're so intentional in everything they do. And you can see that through the programming, through the research that's being done, the bulletin articles that are published, the webinars. I could go on all day about that, but it is so ingrained in everything that they do, which leads to the motto of advancing campus community, because they are seen as, and we are seen on our college campus as, those people who build community on campus. So ACUI sort of fosters that, you know, living room in the college campus and the union, and really building the community aspects and dynamics of your college campus. So ACUI is very intentional, and through the core competencies and through education, through leadership development and education for students and staff, that's the goal, right? And I've experienced that through all my volunteer positions, through interacting with staff. The former executive director, Marsha Herman Betson, was integral in really changing how the association viewed a lot of this, to push the association forward in all aspects.
Love that. You know, we've had, you know, a lot of the guests this season talked about, you know, some of the mentors that they had that, you know, as you said, maybe ushered them along or said, hey, you should try this, or tapped them on the shoulder, you know. And so it's been an interesting theme for sure. And you know, I and Laura and I have shared some of the experiences that we've had that echoed that. And so it's such an important part of, you know, not just, hey, you know, everybody that I work with is also part of this association, but there's a reason, you know, there's an experience, or there's an affinity, or some type of, you know, love or relationship that, you know, that came out of that just excites them and it gets them energized. Can you tell us a little bit about, I don't know if you can one up the Apple story, but, you know, what were some of the experiences that you've had, you know, actually, you know, participating in or attending some of the annual regional conferences? Like, what's that like, you know, to participate in some of those events?
Absolutely. Two of them sort of come to mind, and that's the annual conference, which I've been to every annual conference since 2010. So this will be my 10th consecutive one. And just the level of education is very high, and it's all peer-led. So seeing that process through the Education Council and their work with the conference planning team, very important. Lots of networking opportunities, especially highlighting, they do a lot of tracks with mid-level managers, senior-level managers, so there's really something for everyone, and that's what helps us grow to that next level. The annual conference, through keynotes, through the networking opportunities, really is, they're advancing campus community and advancing the community within the association, which I think are two distinct points that not all associations, regardless of the field, do, and that's one of ACUI's strengths, because they're people, you know, we're people, people, right? So the other one is a program that I manage while working at ACUI, and that's the ILEAD program, the Institute for Leadership Education and Development. So it's a seminar program for college students. It's a living learning experience. And I had managed that program, but prior, when I was working in ResLife, I was actually a small group facilitator. And seeing the transition throughout that program of the students that are there for a short 5 days is life-changing and a very transformative process for those students. I had been involved in the ILEAD program for like 7 years and have done like 6-7 major institutes as well. And just seeing the life-changing experiences that all these students have is what also made me buy in more to the association that I was already in, because the impactfulness and the experiences were so powerful as well. And we just created, I was part of the team that created the ILEAD Connect program, which was a shortened version of that to bring to various campuses. So it was like a 2 to 3 day seminar versus the long 5 day living learning experience. So doing that, I've also done that in like small rural campuses, and the impact is so different on every campus because a lot of students have never experienced X, Y, or Z before. So you're having some of those critical conversations. And that to me, I'm someone who's very passionate about learning and teaching and that engagement and that dynamics, and seeing that process and seeing it all play out is very crucial for my development, but also gives me that much more buy-in to the association that's making a change.
I love hearing you share like how you've put the organization's mission and philosophy in action. So you talked about, you know, creating community in this like living room shared space. You know, most people, when they go to a friend's house or to a family member's house, you can sit in that living room and be comfortable and be relaxed, except if you are my 90-year-old grandmother. She has plastic on everything and you have to be on your best behavior. But in general, yeah, like you feel comfortable in those spaces. And I love that you play that out in college, on college campuses. I also love hearing that, I love student centers in general, just because. And Dan and I had this conversation earlier about how when you look at enrollment brochures, you see the standard student sitting outside of a building next to a tree with some books. And with student centers, they give you a really good idea of what that campus is like. So we're not trying to sell anybody that's not already embedded into our community. And I love that at the heart of ACUI is that push for creating community and making people feel welcome in a space. You shared some of the benefits of attending conferences and the immersion programs you have. Can you share some of the other resources your association offers for leadership educators, maybe something online or non-immersive?
Yeah, absolutely. And these opportunities are growing within the association. As we know, the way of higher education right now, budgets are decreasing, so it's harder to go to some of these opportunities. So, you know, we're forced, and ACUI is forced, among other associations, to create travel-free opportunities or free online engagement opportunities, which people can go to at their leisure or scheduled times, right? So webinars. ACUI has a very robust webinar program and has paired with NCLP and has done network series with them focused solely on leadership development and various aspects of leadership development and sort of that student activities, college union world. So we've had presenters from both sides, the academic side, the practitioner side, sort of come together and put those webinars on, which has been an amazing experience. We also do, in the bulletin, there's a lot of research articles that come out in terms of, we did a series on sort of student leadership development as well. So giving practitioners that theory and that, you know, research that we need to know, right? And I know Dan has heard me say this before, but that it's very important to bridge the gap between student affairs and academics and sort of, as I use the word, pracademic, right? We need student affairs practitioners to get closer to that research side so we can share a story more effectively for university administrators. So ACUI is helping with that, right? Through the research, they have a major benchmarking program now, so you can see where you're at with all these other schools in terms of from facilities to programming to salaries to all these things and how they're connected and how you can make the most, get the most bang for your buck. ACUI launched a new community of practice focused on leadership and service educators. And there's a lot of great robust conversations that happen there and gatherings at some of the immersion experiences. So this annual conference in Atlanta coming up in March, that group will get together and probably have some dialogues as well. I'll also be presenting on ILEC and the work that it's doing and talk about the new 2020 summit at the annual conference, but also we'll do a mini webinar and report out to that community practice for those who cannot attend. So we try and bridge that gap as much as possible to provide as much online learning that's possible. Also new last year, ACUI launched the sort of digital badge focused on leadership development, which is a very high-level leadership course that went through basic leadership theory. I came in and talked about ILEC and the role of ACUI advancing sort of those conversations about leadership educators, because leadership, again, is in everything we do. So those are some of the main ones. I could go on, but those are the important ones that I think would be most beneficial for new members or people looking to get involved.
Yeah, no, I was just looking at recently some of the different articles that are in, you know, in the bulletin. And I remember, you know, you sharing that with us when you were promoting some of the work that ILEC had been doing. And I mean, just, you know, there's articles about following someone who directs a leadership center at a particular campus, or just onboarding and how much, you know, what difference it can make for, you know, leaders of institutions, particularly transitioning into new institutions, can how they can have an immediate impact to, you know, a short read about an app that has to do with leadership development and how students or staff or faculty, you know, might use that. And it's just very, it's really diverse. It spans so many different areas of higher education, but, you know, I've always appreciated, you know, how well the bulletin does a job of looking at, you know, leadership as a subset of everything else. And then there's the, if I remember right, there's a community for leadership and service education that is pretty active. Do you know any more about that particular community and how the communities kind of function within the association?
Yeah, so the communities of practice are sort of literally communities based around a demographic, an area of the field, a practice, ranging from sort of facilities management to emergency preparedness, leadership, like late night programs, campus programs. And it's really just that opportunity for you to ask questions and see what other people are doing, or you know, answer questions that other people have. And through that dialogue, also professional development networking happens. So you can then pick up the phone, have that colleague now as a resource to call and see, what are you doing? How are you navigating this problem? And that goes across sort of our field. So the leadership one is very active looking at certain programs, or what do you do in your leadership program about this, you know, sort of area? How do you work on self-confidence? How do you work on self-efficacy? How are those ingrained in programs? So those are some of the things that keep coming up, whereas various experts and sort of, we call them like content experts, can answer those or just ping pong off each other to figure out what's best for their school or whatnot. So the more information you have, the better. And again, it's a mini form of benchmarking to get more information.
Yeah, so I'm you know, still thinking about your Fruit of the Loom you know, story, but I'm wondering if there's, you know, another, you know, fun, interesting, impactful story that, you know, you might recall. Somebody you met, somebody you got to interact with, you know, from your involvement or participation with ACUI.
There's a lot. Through working at the association, put me in a very different perspective than just being an active volunteer. It's a very different side to see how an association functions, but also I had no idea as a volunteer that these 12 other things were happening while I was just doing this email or whatnot. So it's a really, really complex machine and how all these things connect, right? And the people doing that, that's their job. Like, that's their, what the union is to me, that's their union, right? Building that connection within the association, right? An association manager. So making sure that we get everything we need, that's their main function, right? So it was fascinating to see this whole other side when I started working at the association. And probably one of the most impactful people that I worked for was actually at ACUI, and that was Marsha Herman Betson, the former executive director, who retired in 2015. I had worked for her the whole time I was there, and she was just absolutely probably one of the most influential people in my professional career so far. Her insight on how to navigate problems, conflict, very important, right? So a lot of those tenets that she taught the staff and navigated with the staff, I still use today, right? Especially when it comes to unconditional human worth and some of the ACOI core values. She did those every day and she practiced those and made sure the staff did those as well. And the response from that was the thriving staff, right? And the thriving programs that were put on because the staff approached it from that lens. And that made such a huge difference. But her she's a communication expert and did various presentations, and having interacted with her on, she does this peanut butter presentations about, you know, giving clear instructions. And it's probably one of her, it is her most famous presentation. And the students love it. The staff loves it, where she goes and does exactly what you say, right? And the goal is to make a peanut butter sandwich, peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And she has peanut butter and bread and a knife, but just based on student instructions, she does what they say and goes through, oh, that wasn't clear because look what just happened. And it is the most comical thing that you've ever seen. But from that, again, the basic elements and tenets of communication, which a lot of us don't have or use often, she made sure that we use those in everything we did.
What a pretty cool story. And now I'm wondering when the webinar on the peanut butter and jelly sandwich will be available.
We can phone her in. I'm actually going to see her this weekend for brunch at her house, but I'm sure we can make that happen because I think for students, that would be an important thing to connect to, right? The humor in the comics, while comical, right, adds that perspective of, oh, this is interesting. I can do this. This does make sense. And it's at the level where they can relate and connect to it, which is important for our undergraduate students.
Yeah, I love it. Especially it's something as simple as, you know, making a PB&J, which everybody, you know, and seemingly can do. Like I shed some tears as well as was excited. My 7-year-old can now make his PB&J. He can wield the knife. So, you know, I'm proud. But also thinking about how is that used in communicating. In my background, I teach communicating leadership, and it's one of those things where I say, like, you can know who you are as a leader, but how are you showing and demonstrating that, and how are you communicating that to other people? And I feel like that's one of those simple yet powerful examples of how you can, you know, drive home that need to make sure you're practicing or engaging in good practice around communication.
Absolutely. It's so very important, especially now in the era of non-civil discourse and, you know, the challenges around civil discourse in general and making sure your leadership aligns and congruent. Like there's so many various and major components of leadership in each of those things, congruency, right? And the social change model and whatnot with elections coming up. It's a very hostile place sometimes. And that's what the union was founded on it was a debate club. Like that's where the role of the union came from and where you can have those dialogues with civil discourse, right? And have that leadership component throughout.
Yeah, I love that. We so on our campus, we've called them hate preachers. So they come on campus to kind of bait students into these discussions. And I love it because our students think it only happens here. And I'm like, no, I promise you, if you check around 2 o'clock, he's at Penn or, you know, some of the other institutions around the city. But I also say, like, he believes in his values, just like you believe in your values, kind of like, what's the difference? And it creates this engaging dialogue because they're just like, no, he is wrong. And I'm like, yeah, but he believes it just like you believe it. So yeah. And I feel like those conversations are never going to go away. And we have to continue to, as leadership educators, teach our students how to navigate those.
Right. Absolutely.
So the last thing I have for you is you've shared so much about ACOI and the opportunities for leadership educators. You've shared a lot about the values and the missions of the mission of the organization. Is there anything you'd like to add? Maybe something we didn't ask you that you feel is important in this conversation?
I just think that leadership, and this is me going on what I say practice here, right, at the University of Rochester, leadership is everywhere, right? Where there's some aspects that there's certain demographics or certain things, but leadership is in everything, right? And how we navigate that, if we have that basic understanding, it makes everything else so much easier, right? It's in student employment. It's in programming 101. It's in a fiscal management conversation. It's in an HR issue. All those things are founded on various aspects of leadership development and leadership, right, in general. So having a great foundation and having those resources, I just think set you up, set the person up, set the association up, the school, whatever it is, for better conversation and better dialogue to make the best decision possible. So leadership is everywhere, right? It's not just in, you know, after 12 p.m. on the weekends and late night programming, but it's in everything, which is one of the few values and things that are out there that are as widespread. So it's very important that we take it seriously and that these associations are creating these opportunities so we can continue to have these dialogue. Because if we're not, as Craig Slack would say, pushing the apple cart over, what are we doing, right? Why are we not pushing forward to the next level to make everyone the best we can be?
Love it, Brian. No, thank you so much for joining us today. Lots to think about, and hope folks will go out and take a look and see what ACUI has to offer. And that wraps up this episode of the Leadership Educator Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening at home or walking your dog or engaging in another activity where you are practicing social distancing.
We are the gurus of social distance podcasting, as we are separated by 6 states, more than the CDC required 6 feet.
Well, that is what we do. So way to be a leader in that area. So jokes aside, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to follow us on Twitter. I am at @Dr_leadership and Lauren is at @MrSLaurJB. That's Miss Laura JB. We want to encourage you to listen to the full episodes as they are released, as we can only share a fraction of the amazing stories that our guests shared. You can find the episodes wherever podcasts are available, and we also encourage you to rate us 5 stars, as the more you rate us, the easier it is for others to find us.
We'd also like to thank the James M. Cox Jr. Institute for Journalism, Innovation, Management, and Leadership within the Grady College of Journalism and Mass Communication at the University of Georgia. The support was facilitated by Dr. Keith Herndon, William S. Morris Chair in New Strategy and Management.
That's right. And our wonderful theme music was composed, performed, and mixed by Dr. Matthew White, trumpeter, composer, and educator. And he's currently the Associate Professor of Trumpet, Coordinator of Jazz and Commercial Music, and Director of Ensembles at Coastal Carolina University. He's also a Guggenheim Fellow, some new news. You can check him out, yeah, at www.mattwhitejazz.com. Matt, thank you so much for sharing your musical genius with our audience. And finally, thank you to the Association of Leadership Educators. Check out what the ALE has to offer at leadershipeducators.org. And we hope you will listen to our next episode wherever you get your podcasts.